A moment of perspective on the currency crisis in Turkey. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Turkish currency is down 7% at the moment, down about 40% this month, prompting new emergency measures to right that ship. The president of Turkey today predicted the lira would soon settle at a sustainable level, but he denounced what he called economic traitors, not traitors with a D and an E, but traitors with a T and an O, as in treasonous people who talk down the Turkish economy. And South Africa's currency for a time fell by the most in a decade today, and the currency drooped in Indonesia and India. We got economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives on the line. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
So how bold a headline should we write? I mean, is this a global economic crisis or is this a Turkish economic crisis?
Well, so far, the contagion to other emerging markets is mild to moderate. It is there. Emerging markets are seeing pressure on their currency. And the worse your external vulnerabilities, the worse your currency is getting hit. So far, some mild contagion, but definitely not a full-blown global financial crisis.
I mean, some of it is that market participants have a sense of what's gone wrong in Turkey. It's not a mystery, which can sometimes, when it's a mystery, add to the jitters.
That's right. So Turkey has a large current account deficit. They have borrowed a lot of money in dollars. And so, yes, we know why they're getting hit, in addition to the sanctions and the political developments. So countries that have those similar characteristics, a current account deficit, has very highly leveraged, they're seeing pressure from investors. Investors in general are getting a bit more risk averse, a bit more selective in where they're putting their money. So there is some contagion, but it has reasons. It has fundamental drivers.
Economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. We caught up with her in South America. Julia, thank you.
My pleasure.
President Trump heads way upstate New York today. We're at Fort Drum. He plans to sign the annual Defense Authorization Bill. It's a $716 billion package that adds nearly 16,000 more personnel and boosts pay by about 2.6% starting in January. It also adds to the quickly rising federal deficit. Marketplace's Renato Sego has more.
This Defense Authorization Act gives a nod to an $82 billion boost to the military budget over the next 2 years. Money for more troops, higher wages.
We see more money going into operation and maintenance accounts.
That's Todd Harrison with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says this would be the largest budget since the height of the Iraq War. Defense officials say they need the funds for military readiness. But Harrison says there's one problem.
Our personnel and our operation and our maintenance costs keep growing faster than inflation.
The Congressional Budget Office says military spending accounts for about 17% of the $4 trillion federal budget and that the deficit could surpass $1 trillion by 2020. Mark Goldwine is with the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget.
Higher national debt is likely to slow income and wage growth, and ultimately, it's going to leave the government less equipped to make new investments.
This measure sets broad spending priorities. Congress still needs to pass an appropriations bill to decide how that money is spent. I'm Renata Seco for Marketplace.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
The 2016 Wells Fargo fake account scandal continues to reverberate. Now a big city is trying to keep banks from using the kind of high-pressure sales goals that got Wells Fargo in trouble. Los Angeles recently passed an ordinance saying that any bank contracting with the city or applying for a city contract needs to disclose its sales practices and more. Larry Buell has more from L.A.
Ruth Landaverde says when she worked at a Wells Fargo branch in Los Angeles, her manager constantly pressured her to open new accounts.
I said, this is ridiculous. We can't continue adding or opening credit cards for these people. Well, you have to do it.
Landaverde and other activists came out to celebrate the passage of LA's stricter ordinance in July. It says any bank bidding for the city's accounts must disclose its sales practices, and it can't fire whistleblowers. Killian Collin is also a former Wells Fargo worker.
We want to try to set a good example for the banking industry in Los Angeles City, and we're hoping that will be nationwide later.
LA's contracts with Wells Fargo, totaling about $17 million, expire later this year, and the city plans to cut all ties with the bank. Wells Fargo declined to comment on the city's decision to seek another bank, but in a statement it said it's proud to have served as the city's primary bank for a decade. Some major cities use social responsibility as a bargaining chip with banks, but they don't make banks reveal sales goals. Beth Mills is a spokesman for the California Bankers Association. She says LA's ordinance could keep banks away.
To the extent that you put some of these requirements in that banks aren't comfortable with, that may in fact restrict that city's ability to obtain financial services.
Reform advocates say banks should be more transparent because of the role they play in the financial lives of city residents. Maria Loya is with the Committee for Better Banks in LA.
They're selling loans. They're selling bank accounts that come with fees. They're selling credit cards, right? That has a direct impact on the health of the individual's economic well-being and therefore the economic well-being of the community.
With Wells Fargo now out of the running, the question is which banks will agree to greater transparency in order to get LA's business. I'm Larry Buell for Marketplace.
And Tesla CEO Elon Musk blogged in greater detail today about his controversial tweeted assertion last week that he has funding secured for possibly taking his company off the public stock market. He now says it was the Sovereign Wealth Fund of Saudi Arabia that offered to help make this happen. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.